Today's story is one of my favorites in the book of Acts, which also makes it somewhat hard to preach on because there are so many different sermons I could write about this one encounter on a wilderness road. But every sermon on this passage, no matter which one I inevitably choose, always starts with the fact that the Ethiopian eunuch is an Ethiopian eunuch. A nameless human who has been defined by Luke with two identities. One, being an Ethiopian, which means he's from Africa, a foreign land to the apostles, and a place they have not yet reached with the gospel. And two, a eunuch, a marker of the body this person inhabits, leaving them outside any conventional notions of gender. This identity also means, by the laws in Deuteronomy, that this person was not allowed to be a full participant in Israel's assembly. He wasn't allowed to worship in the temple. He may not have even been a Jew. So being an Ethiopian eunuch leaves this person very much on the edges, very much on the outside, defined by these identities that he did not choose, and in a world that doesn't quite know what to do with him. But this week I also saw something else, something that complicated the eunuch's identity. It says that the Ethiopian eunuch was a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. In normal words, this means that he was like the secretary of the treasury and oversaw every dollar in the land's possession. He was one of the highest C-suiters in the country. He was around the table with the queen. He was making massive decisions for and on behalf of an entire country's finances. And because of this role, he had wealth. He had power. He had access to a chariot and the scrolls from Isaiah. This is not something we would expect from an outsider like an Ethiopian eunuch, from someone with such marginalized identities, all of which makes this nameless human a contradiction. He holds an incredibly powerful position in his home country. He has enough wealth to travel to Jerusalem and enough education to read the Jewish scriptures. And yet he's still a eunuch. He won't have a family. He isn't fully welcome into any community. He doesn't have control over his own life and is left with very little agency over how people treat him and the decisions that are made about him. He has both great power and no power at all. He is simultaneously an insider and an outsider. He is illiterate and yet doesn't understand. He is wealthy and yet without a people. It is fitting then that where the angel of the Lord tells Philip to go is a wilderness road, a road between the eunuch's homeland and Jerusalem, a road that signifies where the eunuch belongs in this world, a place torn between two identities, not fully in one camp or another, in this liminal in-between space. The place where Philip encounters the eunuch is like nature's embodiment of the eunuch's place in the world, in that the eunuch has no place in the world, has no people in the world, that his very humanity is a wilderness road. The eunuch has nowhere and no one who fully embraces every part of his being, every identity that he has been given by the world, every contradiction that lives inside his body, every tension he experiences on a daily basis. This is not where the story ends, though. Because as Philip and the eunuch ride together in the carriage, they come across water. Water. In the middle of a desert, in the middle of nowhere. another impossible contradiction. Which is why it's earnest and ironic when they stumble upon this impossible water in the desert and the eunuch asks, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" A hilarious question, because the eunuch knows that the answer is everything. Everything should prevent him from being baptized. Every identity, every marker of who he is will prevent him from this gift of baptism, just like it's prevented him from every other gift. But without another word, the chariot is stopped. They both get out. They go down to this impossible water, and the eunuch is baptized. He's dunked in the waters of God's grace and love. He is fully immersed in the love of a God who created him and called him good. He is given a new life that is not marked by what the world thinks or assumes about him, but is marked by an eternal life in communion with God. He is welcomed into a community that honors and celebrates each and every one of his contradictory identities. And he's given a new identity, that of a child of God, an identity that will travel with him and sustain him and give him a home and a people when the world has given him nothing. As I was sitting with this story this week, I couldn't help but wonder how this Ethiopian eunuch ended up on this wilderness road. What was he doing? Driving his carriage for days through the middle of nowhere to go worship in Jerusalem at a temple he was not welcome at and reading scripture he didn't understand. Why was he doing this? How did he end up here? Obviously, Luke doesn't tell us in this story. We don't have a name for the eunuch, let alone his intentions. But I think we have the answer in our own experience, because we know what it's like to be the eunuch. We know what it's like to long for a people and a community and a place of belonging. We know what it's like to be burdened by the identities this world has given us. We know what it's like to be alone and misunderstood. And when that is our reality, when we're living in that, we can't help but go searching for something that will sustain us and make us whole again. We go searching for answers and a place and a people who will understand. And the great news of this story is that God finds us in that searching. That God finds us on our wilderness road. When we have no home, when we have no people, when we're torn between who we are and who we're expected to be and what the world says about us, that's where God finds you. In the liminal, in-between, tension-filled, contradictory places of your life. And in the most impossible and miraculous way, God offers you water and a promise that there is nothing that separates you from the love of God, that there is no part of you that can take away God's claim on you, that there is no identity of yours that is too complicated or too outside the bounds for God to love. So wherever you find yourself on the wilderness road today, whatever identities that you carry on your shoulders, may you know that you are part of a community, of a family, that you are named and claimed by the Creator of the world, that you are seen and celebrated in all your complexity, and that there is nothing and no one who can take that away. Because this water, this promise, it will always find you, no matter how desolate the location may be. Thanks be to God.